Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 557. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And it's been a weekend that we've got some stuff to talk about because this new show has launched on
Looking
on the HBO.
On the Hobo.
I'd heard about this and then I forgot about this. And then you were like, let's watch Looking together before we record.
Yeah,
we just finished watching it. Do you think a lot of gay men have been really anticipating this?
Yeah.
Kind of in the same way when Queer as Folk was going to launch, does it feel that same kind of energy or bigger or different?
I think it's different. I don't think it's as big because Queer as Folk it was the only thing.
Right.
You know, not that we have that much visibility on TV, but Queer as Folk was the only thing.
Right.
And
it's probably my hair.
Yeah, I have a long blonde hair and my beard.
Because you have a sexy beard. Gay men on Looking have sexy beards too.
I know. I just want to put out that I've had a beard for several years.
You have
before
been,
the
yes.
beard thing happened.
Oh, I've
had a beard.
You were country before country was cool.
Exactly right. but I think people are looking forward to it. It's got a very sexy cast.
Yep.
It's shot really beautifully. It's directed by the same guy who directed that film Weekend, which mm-hmm. Weekend was about this two guys who meet on a hookup. They mm-hmm. think they're just going to hook up, and then mm-hmm. they spend a weekend together, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So he specializes.
It's like the Ethan Hawke, Julie Delpy film for gays. Men.
And I would have to say that Weekend is the best film I've ever seen about gay men, the way in which gay men talk to each other.
It just came out, like the past couple years?
2 or 3 years, yeah.
Yeah.
I never recognize myself in, quote, gay movies. Mm. Like the...
Why?
I'm never in them. You know...
And who is that? Who are you?
I don't know, your average urban gay dude, right? Like, of a certain age, like, I'm not a pretty twink, mm-hmm. always going to a club, but occasionally I'll go to a club. I'm not some pithy queen mm-hmm. that's always... nothing against a pithy queen, mm-hmm. but most of my friends are just regular guys who mm-hmm. have. We don't talk about being gay, mm-hmm. right? We talk about our lives. Mm-hmm. But it seems like when I see representations of like gay cinema, mm-hmm. and I guess I'm talking more about comedies, like there was a movie that came out called Adam and Steve.
Uh-huh.
I mean, no offense, because I appreciate that the guy got it made. And in fact, he's friends with a good friend of mine. But it was just dreadful. And I just don't recognize what passes for gay humor mm-hmm. or gay male representation. And the thing I loved about Weekend was like, I know those guys.
Yeah.
I believed it. I've had that conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much talk about gay men and casual sex and drugs. But it's often written by a straight person, and so it doesn't, they don't understand the way in which that happens. And just in this half hour, I recognized more of the people in my life and the way in which we behave and talk to each other and about relationships and sex and exes and jobs than and dating than I've seen in most gay cinema.
It takes place in San Francisco, which makes sense. But we were saying it's really interesting that it's kind of shot in a darker light. So
it
kind of does feel like it could be Chicago or a Midwestern or...
It definitely feels urban.
You know?
I thought it was actually beautifully shot.
It's not like sunny California.
Exactly.
Feel, right?
Right. This is not the lipstick, lollipop-colored version of
Cali.
No. This looks like people I know.
Yeah.
People a little unshaven.
Not perfect.
Also, one of the things I liked, I think there was some criticism of the previews that had been sort of circulating. You know, this has been much anticipated on like gay blogs and stuff. And it seemed very white.
It's not.
No, there were, I mean, just
like
in this
Jonathan episode, Croft is like the only white dude that we've seen yet.
So. Yeah, and so I love that. I mean, so it's immediately integrated, you know. Also, it's integrated gay and straight. I mean, there's Jonathan Groff's workmate is a straight dude. And,
Asian.
An Asian.
Japanese.
Yeah. Right, a Japanese dude. And,
which is true to form for San Francisco.
Sure, of course. So I'm in it. I'm already liking it. I was just saying, of course, I leave next weekend. So this will be, I won't be able to watch it for a while. So you'll have to like watch it.
I'll watch it.
And let me know.
And tell you that I'm keeping up with you.
I think the acting is very good too.
The acting is very good. The writing is interesting. It's shot really interesting. You know, to me, it's like, we could call it like gays. And that would probably be an appropriate title. Like girls.
Right.
Gays.
Right.
I don't know. It feels like the male gay version of girls in a way. They're not that young.
It also
Let's
feels
not say
to me
that,
a little
but
bit.
I mean, how it's kind of shot. It's kind of really like shot in a very
this natural lighting. And...
Yeah, but just these brief little vignettes that, yes, they're linear, but they're like glimpses. They're like just like we somehow get
to. It's very much like Weekend.
Yeah, we just get to. We kind of have that moment with them, and then they just highlight another moment that happens later in the night, you know, and it's
especially for the introductory,
almost interesting.
This introductory episode, you know, like we just met these guys, right?
Right.
So we've just learned a lot about these guys, about their relationships and their past and their careers, and you know,
the things that are getting in their way.
Things are getting in the way, and family. I mean, it's they get a lot of information in very casual dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. We also watched the SAG Awards, which...
We did watch the SAG Awards. I mean, I don't think there's big surprises there except for Jared Leto...
He did a better job.
...getting to redeem himself.
He did.
We were saying that, I'm sure you did as well, and I did too, share on my Facebook page Alexandra Billings' article to the Huffington Post in light of the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. Really,
and she was very generous.
She was generous, you know.
She basically was saying, it's those who didn't read it, her take on Jared Leto's speech at the Golden Globe, which was very much about him talking about his butt and waxing. And Alex posited that that he spent a bit of time trying to distance himself from the character he played. And one of the things that Alex said is that there are no characters. We don't play characters. Like she said, in the history of theater, no one has ever sat in the green room while their character went on stage and played their part.
We are the character.
We are... If you do something well, it's because there's a part of you. And so she just asked him to not distance himself from somebody who he's getting accolades for empathizing with. And so I have a theory. I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I have a theory that somebody showed him this Huffington Post piece.
Yeah.
Because his speech hit all the right notes.
It really did. I mean, dedicating it to people who have died or are still living with
HIV
and AIDS and the rayons of the world.
Right.
And you've not seen it yet, right?
I have not.
And you're not sure if you're going to.
I mean, I will eventually, but it was not something I had to run out to see.
Yeah. His performance is really, it's really beautiful. He and Matthew McConaughey, I think, are probably going to be the favorites for the Oscars, and we'll see what happens with that. I am surprised.
I'm going to be going during the Oscars, so I'm going to say this. Cate Blanchett's going to be Best Actress.
Of course.
Matthew McConaughey's going to be Best Actor. Jared Leto's going to be Best Supporting Actor. And... Lupita, I can't remember her last name, from 12 Years a Slave is going to be Best Supporting.
There you go.
Yeah.
You've heard it here.
I'm telling you right now, that's what
we will have
be.
An Oscar prediction.
It will probably be American Hustle for Best Film, but the director of Gravity for Best Director. They'll split it. These are my predictions. You've heard it right here. We'll see.
We'll see
I mean,
what happens.
Of course, you know, I haven't, you know, part of the Oscar, you know, handicapping the Oscars is as it gets closer.
Yeah, and a lot of things can
stuff.
Shift.
But this right now on the outside.
Yeah.
That's my outside.
12 Year a Slave is still, I think, going to be a contender.
It will be a contender,
and
but it won't win.
I'm very surprised that Chiwetel Steven... has not won an award yet, but maybe Matthew McConaughey.
It's probably because the industry loves him.
And they love him, and I love him, and yeah. He's had a really good year,
he has.
With Mud and
his TV show.
And his TV show, and he's just had some really
I also think that the industry loves him. You know, people who work with him like him. He's he seems like a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something about Alex's, just one more thing about Alex's.
Go.
Piece in the HuffPost. So she then followed up by saying, she wrote something on Facebook, a response to her piece, that she got a lot of mail.
Uh-huh.
And some of it called her lots of names, you know, an abomination and evil and all those sorts of words.
Or people
and
who don't know Alexandra Billings. Exactly.
She's a transgendered actor, singer, teacher.
Yeah, who's been living
activist,
with AIDS for 20 some odd years.
And she's a very good friend of both of ours, but she also has to be a genius, and she's been writing for the Huffington Post recently for the transgendered voice. And so she posted this beautiful, absolutely beautiful reaction to that.
Right.
About how we are all in this together, and we all hurt, and we all try to find our way, and we all think we have the way, and hopefully we don't step on other people on our way. And hurting, she says something like, hurting my feelings is not going to get you closer to what the goal is, which is unity with each other. And it was very beautiful, and it was very much rising up. So I shared her post and said this, because this is who I am, and I admit it freely.
Uh-huh.
I am not that zen. I am not that evolved. I'm a boy from Rhode Island. I said, okay, Alex rises above, as she is brilliantly wont to do.
Uh-huh. And she didn't used to.
No,
she's
just
kind of a new voice. For, she's kind of a mellowing of Alexandra.
It's fucking great. Well,
some ways.
I said, but just to let everyone know, anybody who, if I ever catch anybody saying those things about my sister, I will not be that nice. You can take the boy out of Rhode Island. You cannot take the Rhode Island out of the boy.
Yeah.
I will not be that nice. I'm at a place in my life, and it's like this weird renewed anger. I think I was passive for a big part of my life because I thought I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am no longer. You know, this week Sherry Shepherd did this whole thing about, you know, I love my gays or whatever she said, but my gay friends know I think they're going to hell, but I love them, and you have to respect. You know, you have to respect my beliefs. It's like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Stop. Just stop. Any ever again, anyone ever telling me that I have to respect their religious beliefs? I respect individual people who have religious beliefs, but the fact that you have religious beliefs does
that
not
tell
mean,
me that I'm going to hell.
Even if they tell me that I'm going to fucking Disneyland, I do not. Don't tell me I have to respect it. I do not have to respect it. So stop telling me. So Sherry Shepherd can suck my big dick. Sorry, Amy's dad. I'm just so tired of that sentiment that, like, you get to say things like that, and then you follow it up by saying, well, that's what my Bible tells me. Well, you know what? I think it was Brooke Reed is an actor friend, said, oh, sorry, Sherry, I don't believe in black people because you're not in my book, which is Horton Hears a Who. And since you're not in the book that I believe is the truth to the universe, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I love you, but you don't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that make it? Doesn't that sound crazy to those of us who think the Bible is just a bunch of bullshit? That's how crazy that sounds. Be like, oh, I'm sorry, Amy. I don't believe in lesbians because you're not in Stuart Little, right? And that's the book that I believe in. You don't respect that? That's what I believe in? How dare you?
Well, I just think to make a disrespectful comment, I don't need to respect you for any.
Thank you.
I don't need to respect you because you've made a disrespectful. Ignorant comment.
But she thinks, but here's the deal. If you are a person who believes your interpretation of the Bible truly, or that the Bible is some book to look to for modern wisdom, I do not have, obviously do not happen to be one of those people. I'd rather look to the encyclopedia or maybe science. But if you are a person who believes that that's the book to look to for modern wisdom, then she is simply expressing, she's just listening to what she thinks the Bible told her.
Well, yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that she's
And then the bachelor
accurate.
Dude.
Oh, the bachelor dude.
Well, he's a tool.
He's a tool.
It's funny to watch ABC and him working overtime to distance themselves.
Yeah, from him.
It's been a weird week, too, because one of the kids from One Direction tweeted his support for the Duck Dynasty people. And it's just been a weird week. It's
whenever been... I think, like, we're not going to be in the news, we're in the news.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Why did you... Why, people just want to talk about
we
us.
Didn't even. I know, we didn't even do anything this week.
Yeah, we didn't even... No state, like, said yay us this week.
Yeah, nobody said... Yeah, nobody, in fact, nobody said yay yeah, us this
nobody
week.
Nobody said yay us this week.
Well, except for HBO.
Exactly. HBO, the Academy Awards, right. The Golden Globes. Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think, you know, people say ignorant, disrespectful things, and unfortunately, people have held up either laws or the Bible or patriarchy or whatever to, like, you know, white straight male patriarchy to, like, you know, put anything other than that down. And you know, I mean, I just think to be disrespectful to human beings
is
to be disrespectful. And, you know, they're looking for an excuse and a scapegoat through which to do that. But that would be the same as if I said, well, you know, I read the Bible to interpret that, like, because you eat shellfish, you're going to hell. You know, or
well, did
whatever.
Did you see that woman? Exactly. Did you see that woman? Forgive me for not having all the information about this, but a transgendered woman, an older transgendered woman, she had to be in her late 60s, mm-hmm. went to a city council meeting where they had just recently passed a ordinance to include gender identity and sexual orientation in the Non-Discrimination Act in this uh-huh. in this city, southern city or midwestern city. And then this councilman, almost immediately upon its passing, decided to repeal it. So he had this meeting, and he was, mm-hmm. and one of the things he talked about was the Bible. And mm-hmm. even though I still don't understand in a country with a separation of church and state, why you think you can talk about the Bible as far as making laws. But anyway, he did. So this transgendered woman, this crotchety old lady, mm-hmm. bless her, went, had a rock in her hand, and she said, "So." And she read the Leviticus thing that everybody always quotes about, if man lies with man, it's an abomination, and he should be stoned to death. That's what supposedly what Leviticus says. So she picked up the stone, said, "Here you go, councilman. If you believe one part of it, you got to believe the other part of it. So here you go. Here's your stone. I mean, you have to stone me, right? Isn't that, I mean, you can't have both ways, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just say it and mm-hmm. then not follow through." Mm-hmm. And then he never brought it up for a vote. Mm-hmm. I thought that was brilliant.
Brilliant. I mean, but that's the point, right? I mean, that's the point. Like,
for me, my point is this: is I get that we're supposed to have this respectful dialogue, and I will respect a person on a person to person basis.
Sure.
But I'm tired.
Oh,
I'm tired of pretending that I respect that bullshit. I don't respect it. I don't respect it,
But I guess the thing is, like, I don't respect it either.
Right.
You know?
Right,
and even though you and I have different religious beliefs, I don't respect it either. I mean, I find it distasteful and disrespectful and contrary to absolutely everything of how, you know, whether I have to get into a biblical thing of what I do or don't believe, you know, which is varied and always changes or evolves. It's not even in the same conversation for me to talk about Sherry Shepherd because she reads a book that I read and I don't discount. I don't discount it entirely in the mm-hmm. way you do.
Right.
You know, and so
this
and
is
so
also a woman who had to check the Bible to see if the world was round.
Well, I mean, come on.
Do you remember that?
I don't, but that doesn't surprise yeah. me. But I'm just saying, you know, it's just, you know, it's deplorable and because I think the Bible is a book that there are lots of people who do hold some regard for it, mm-hmm. either as a great work of literature or a great book of stories.
As a person who reads a lot, I don't get that argument either, but that's a discussion for something
else.
That's
okay. Or a great, or, you know, whatever. But it is obviously a book that stood the test of time and stood
Let me
whatever.
Say that. I agree with you. I know exactly what you mean. And I agree with that. But I'm going to say this. I recently listened to a song, and I can't remember. I think it was Tim Minchin. He's an Australian dude. He wrote the music links for the musical Matilda, but mm-hmm. he's been the singer-songwriter for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, he wrote this really beautiful Christmas kind of song called White Wine in the Sun, which mm-hmm. is really great. And one of the lines in his book is about I really love Christmas in song. Because I really love Christmas, even though I don't believe in any of this, anything around it, but I love Christmas time. And so in discussing that thing, that mm-hmm. this book that's been around a long time, one of the things he says that I really believe is just because an idea is tenacious does not make it true.
Yeah, but you're boiling it down to one idea. I mean, I'm just saying that there are ideas and ideals in that book,
sure.
as there are in other religious sure. books, that that uphold or that people can pull from. And I think what's the problem is when somebody tries to stand on it as a collection of absolute truth, or they want to take people who feel, you know, they want to try to scoop up, you know, as many allies as they can for whatever their stance
while
is.
While ignoring greed and gluttony.
You know?
Well, people, my thing about this is, I'm not saying that I'm by any means a perfect person, but nothing infuriates me more than the people who pick and choose which sins they decide they're going to pull out of the Bible.
I agree.
Now, if you want to pick and choose which sins just you as a person you think are more egregious than others,
right.
I'm fine with that, because we can talk yeah. about that, because that's about personal values.
Right.
But if you're quoting something and going, yeah. look, it's right here, I'm like...
That's exactly right. I can't even imagine anybody that I respect doing that, unless it was going to bring comfort to somebody.
Exactly.
I can't imagine, you know, the spiritual life in which I live, or the religious life in which I was raised in, and I do believe those are kind of different today. One is, to me, spiritual. One is religious. But I think that, you know, I don't come from any kind of faith experience that I believe in pulling something to oppress somebody. I don't believe in pulling somebody to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in pulling, you know, from a book like that or other, or a poem, like mm-hmm. a beautiful poet, or right. a funny writer, or a great
Frank
song,
O'Hara tonight,
or whatever, you know, to bring comfort to somebody, to bring ease, to bring possible understanding, enlightenment. But
connection.
I know people are thinking that that's enlightenment. Maybe Sherry Shepherd thinks that in her twisted way that that's enlightenment.
No, she's just a lazy thinker.
The certainty of bigotry.
Like, doesn't she get
from
the
black
irony?
Woman is
now, here's
shocking.
The deal. I mean, I think, you know, she's a shapely gal. She's an overweight gal. I think she's a beautiful girl, but she's an overweight gal. In the Bible, gluttony is just as much of a sin. Does she consider herself going to hell?
I don't
she
know.
Doesn't. That was
Probably
what she was.
Not.
No, that was her whole point. Is that she's sad that when she gets to heaven, her gay friends aren't going to be there. It's like, but neither are you, because gluttony is a sin, girl.
That's true.
And gluttony means you eat too much.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You were talking about the truths. There's very few things that we know to be true.
Absolutely. And less every year.
And
every day.
One of those truths, as far as our current perception of the universe, is that time only moves in one direction. It moves
right.
forward. So progress. Things only progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the people who can't deal with progress.
Yeah.
Who are creating this backlash, I think, whether it's Uganda or Nigeria or Russia, or, you know, this, like, there's been, it's so bad for gay people in the rest of the world right now.
Yeah.
And,
Nigeria, as you're going to hear in the news.
Yeah,
today.
I mean, it's just dreadful. And
there's a Buddhist quote that says, you know, there is no pain in change, only the resistance to change.
Yes.
Sitting on my refrigerator.
Well, there's one of the things that, you know, people are often quote how throughout history, civilizations that have been great civilizations that have then fallen or disappeared, whether it's the Egyptian culture, the Roman culture, Greek culture,
mm-hmm.
British Empire.
Sparta.
Sparta. It reminds me of being in a Greek play in college, and one of the guys was from Rhode Island. His line was, "Welcome, men of Sparta."
Uh-huh.
But it came out like, "Welcome, men of Sparta."
Men of Sparta.
Genius. He didn't mean it. He was not being funny.
I know.
That's how he talked, which I love. But so there's this idea that when a culture accepts homosexuality, it becomes more mainstream, then the culture ends. So they often, homophobes will often quote that perception as an excuse, like, see, we can't let this happen. It's going to ruin our society. But that quote that you quoted, the one that's on your fridge, that's what destroyed the society.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Change does not hurt. It's the resistance to change. It's you distracted because you couldn't deal with the change. Don't blame it on us.
Yes.
Don't blame it on progress and love.
I believe we're here to be flexible and progress and to change and evolve.
Well, it only moves one way.
That's exactly right. And to expand.
We don't get younger.
You know, to expand.
I mean, I'm getting younger.
I'm getting younger. God, you look great.
Thank you. I feel 14 tonight. You're plying me with alcohol. It's illegal.
I know, it's true. But yeah, I mean, that's just my beliefs, you know. But I think that, you know, we come here to go on a journey and to impact maybe a few, maybe many, but we're here to impact those that we impact. And then, you know, and then that's what we're here. You know, that's why we're here.
I don't even know if I have a why. I don't think I have a why. I think for me, we are in fact here. And so while we're here, we might as well be nice to each other.
Well, I think that's true. I only have that not because it's some great, it's just what I experience.
Right.
It's just what I experience.
Right.
Like I meet you, I talk to you. I don't care if you bag my groceries or you are my parent, you impact me. There's no way I cannot say that, you know?
I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it real. I do not talk to the person who bags my groceries. No, I'm kidding.
I do.
I'm so kidding.
Because I have to micromanage them, so no, they very much
I'm
invite
so
me.
I'm so kidding. In fact, I'll probably ask the kid who bags my groceries out on a date. I not only talk to them,
that's the next
I flirt
episode
with them.
Of letting. When I'll text you and be like, oh my God.
Oh my God. It may be true.
Grocery. It will happen. It will happen. Well, we're going to come back and talk about Mitchell heading off to the high seas. It's happening again, folks. If you've been with us for a number of years, you know it's that time of year.
Yes, I got to get out of the winter.
He's got to get out of the winter.
The polar vortex can eat it.
Arctic vortex, polar vortex,
seriously.
Antarctic port vortex. How many vortexes can I deal?
Ugh, it's terrible. The whole it's coming back next week.
Becomes like a collapsed vagina. Yes, I don't know. It's like I keep getting people's gas reports that are like, your neighbor's good energy is this little tiny 1 centimeter bar graph of green. And your neighbors use twice that. It's the blue graph. But you're horrible. You have a black, long, 5-inch graph of how much electricity or gas you use, you know, compared to everybody else. But the funny thing is that everybody I know who has a gas meter, see, your gas is included, Mitchell.
Yes, and I don't even think about it.
But everybody I know who gets these things, we're all like, what the hell? How's your gas level? All like, this has got to be some scam. They must be modeling my house against like somebody in a studio.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Like, but you have to keep warm.
Well, it's exactly. What do they expect me to do? I was like caulking. That was a lesbian word. Thank you.
First of all,
caulking.
First
with
of all,
a caulk
that was not
caulk.
You had like schmatas. You had like. You had like rags stuffed around your door.
No, I had that, but I had a caulking gun. I have a caulking gun in my basement.
Of course you do.
Stop. Get your hand away from your crotch. I was like on the floor, like on my hands and knees, caulking.
Stop saying that.
Because when there's a polar vortex, you can feel every
what you got to pull out your cock?
Air that you pull out your cock, and you feel every inch of air that comes through any crack.
Go to the news.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. A federal judge struck down Oklahoma's gay marriage ban on January 14th, ruling that it violates the United States Constitution. U.S. District Judge Terrence Kern handed down the ruling in a lawsuit that two same-sex couples filed. Kern immediately stayed his ruling pending appeals, meaning same-sex marriages won't happen in Oklahoma right away.
Newly inaugurated Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe kept his campaign promise from last year when he was inaugurated January 11th, issuing an executive order banning anti-LGBT discrimination as one of his first official acts. The executive order bans discrimination against state employees on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity. McAuliffe repeatedly promised during his campaign that this would be the first executive order he would sign as governor.
The New Black, a documentary that follows African-American advocates on both sides of the 2012 campaign for Maryland's Question 6, a referendum launched by opponents of the state's same-sex marriage bill, has been nominated for an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Documentary Theatrical. Chicagoan Yvonne Welbun, a lesbian, is one of the film's producers. The awards will air February 22nd.
On January 13th, embattled New Jersey Governor Chris Christie signed 12 bills into law and vetoed 10 others, including a bill that would allow transgender individuals to amend their birth certificates. Several LGBTQ groups issued statements criticizing Christie's move.
The effort to repeal, through a ballot initiative, the California's School Success and Opportunity Act, a bill that affords certain rights to transgender students, is moving forward. Governor Jerry Brown signed the measure into law last year. However, a coalition of anti-LGBT groups immediately began the process of collecting signatures that would put a repeal measure on the November 2014 ballot. California county clerks have until February 24th to verify all the signatures.
The Nonpartisan Tax Foundation has released a summary of each state's guidance to same-sex couples on filing income taxes. Gay and lesbian couples holding a valid marriage certificate from a state that recognized same-sex marriage will be able to file a joint federal tax return for the tax year of 2013. 22 states do not recognize same-sex marriage while requiring taxpayers to reference their federal return when filing state income tax. For more, you can visit taxfoundation.org.
New York State Assembly member Deborah Glick and State Senators Brad Holyman and Michael Gianaris introduced joint bills banning reparative or ex-gay therapy for minors. Empire State Pride Agenda is leading the charge to make the bill law.
The Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, the world's largest professional body of engineers with more than 425,000 members in more than 160 countries, including both academia and industry, is publishing its new code of ethics. And that code, for the first time, is LGBT inclusive.
Signaling a shift for the organization after the passage of same-sex marriage, Equality Illinois has released a guide that helps transgender Illinoisans navigate name changes and gender marker revisions on state documents. The organization announced the 44-page guide to name and gender marker changes in a media statement January 7th. The guide covers documentation change, including Illinois driver's licenses, birth certificates, social security cards, and passports.
After a great deal of prayer and consultation, the Archbishop of Seattle has announced that a Catholic school will not change its decision to terminate a gay vice principal. The statement comes after weeks of protests from students and parents advocating for the reinstatement of Mark Zmuda, the former vice principal of Eastside Catholic High School in Sammamish, Washington. Zmuda was let go after administrators discovered his marriage to husband, Dana Juergens.
In world news, Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has signed a law that bans same-sex marriage and criminalizes same-sex associations, societies, and meetings with penalties of up to 14 years in jail. United States Secretary of State John Kerry said the United States is deeply concerned by a law that dangerously restricts freedom of assembly, association, and expression for all Nigerians. And already dozens of people have been arrested in Nigeria since the law was enacted. Four men were arrested in the state of Bauchi and possibly tortured in order for them to name additional gay people. Through that arrest, authorities reportedly compiled a list of 168 gay Nigerians, 38 of whom had been arrested recently.
In its first session of 2014, Chile's Congress took a significant step for gay rights when the Senate approved legislation on same-sex civil unions. Senators voted in favor of the life partner agreement with 28 votes in favor, 6 against, and 2 abstentions.
In Israel, Tel Aviv's mayor joined members of the LGBT community in Tel Aviv Park to unveil a new memorial dedicated specifically to the LGBT victims of the Holocaust. The memorial, which sits beneath a rainbow flag and a flag of Israel, is the first in the country dedicated to non-Jewish victims of the Holocaust and joins similar monuments in Amsterdam, Berlin, San Francisco, and Sydney.
Liam Davis, a midfielder for the UK soccer team Gainsborough Trinity, came out of the closet. The partner Davis, age 23, said aside from himself, he's unaware of any other footballers currently playing who are gay, but hopes that more feel comfortable to follow in his footsteps before his own career is over.
In entertainment news, the HBO movie The Normal Heart is slated to air in May and will co-star Mark Ruffalo, Matt Bomer, Julia Roberts, Jim Parsons, and Taylor Kitsch, among others. Also, HBO has commissioned a script by Larry Kramer for a potential sequel to the film.
Bisexual actress Michelle Rodriguez raised eyebrows at a New York Knicks game as she got very cuddly with Victoria's Secret model Cara Delevingne. The pair apparently looked very cozy together, with Rodriguez's leg draped over the 21-year-old fashion model's long limbs. Delevingne made news recently for touching tongues with Miley Cyrus.
Emails and memos reportedly sent between executives at BET appear to support transgender media personality B. Scott's allegations that the network discriminated against him. Scott filed a lawsuit against the channel last summer, charging that the network discriminated against him on the basis of gender identity by literally pulling him off the red carpet at its annual awards pre-show and demanding that he change into more masculine attire. BET Music Programming President Stephen Hill allegedly wrote before the event, "I don't want looking like a woman, B. Scott. I wanted tempered B. Scott."
A son of Diana Ross is engaged now to the sister of Jessica Simpson. Ashley Simpson, age 29, is engaged to Evan Ross, age 25. The couple went public with their relationship in July.
Chicago drag queen Tranica Rex has invited Phil Robertson, the star of the TV show Duck Dynasty, who has been embroiled in a public debate on free speech after uttering anti-gay remarks in an interview with GQ magazine, to one of her shows. Rex, who has offered to pay Robertson's airfare to Chicago, will host Tranica's Most Wanted, Duck Dynasty, on January 20th at Scarlett's in Lakeview. Tranica Rex has not yet received a reply from Robertson, his personnel, or the TV network.
Former Glee star and YouTube sensation Charisse attempted to take her own life, and her grandmother claims it's because of the financial strain the 21-year-old was feeling. The grandmother confirmed Charisse attempted suicide by slashing her wrists. Last year, Charisse came out of the closet saying, "Yes, I am a lesbian, but to those who can accept me, thank you very much. We are all equal, whether you are gay or straight."
And Madonna is writing a grown-up album of ballads with help from Adele. Madonna has asked the 25-year-old songstress to help her, promising in return to write a song for Adele's next record. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, I'm Amy Ray, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Kaweez.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 20th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Steppenwolf Theater presents Tribes by visionary playwright Nina Rain. The only deaf member of a cheerfully combative family searches to be heard in a stimulating play the Wall Street Journal called the most daring and funniest new play in recent years. Tickets start at just $20. Visit steppenwolf.org. Tribes is playing now through February 9th.
Tap dance your way to the Paramount Theater in Aurora for the hit Broadway production of 42nd Street. Don't miss the classic hits We're in the Money, Lullaby of Broadway, and of course, 42nd Street. Directed by Rachel Rockwell, playing now through February 9th at the Paramount in Aurora. For tickets, visit ParamountAurora.com. That's ParamountAurora.com.
Pride Films and Plays presents what many consider to be the first gay play, Lillian Hellman's classic tale of love and lies, The Children's Hour. Written in 1934, it is as timely today as it was when written. See The Children's Hour through February 9th at Collaboration, 1579 North Milwaukee Avenue. For tickets, visit brownpapertickets.com. Don't miss this exciting new production from Pride Films and Plays. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Freeze in the fire.
Well, Mitchell and I are back. We're still laughing after the news. Oh, my God. So you're leaving, and it's going to make me sad, so it's good that I'm laughing.
I know. I am
Although,
leaving.
Thank God. I mean, just thank God for, like, Skype and Facebook and email and,
I know,
you know, I mean, I was thinking the other day, when I went to college, we didn't even have cell phones.
I know.
You know? So it's like...
Remember having, like...
I was like, how did I go on dates?
Remember having phones in your hallway in your dorms? It was like, and like, it would ring.
I guess so. I think we had phones in our individual rooms.
Oh, I didn't have a phone in my room.
I'm pretty sure I had a phone in my room. But yeah, I know I did. But I, it's just so bizarre, right? It's so bizarre to think like, what happened when I was going to be late or I was meeting somebody? I don't know what we did.
Well, it's so nice because...
Actually, I think we did what the hell we said we were going to do.
And
we
showed up. Right.
Right? Like, no, like, yeah, I'm not going to come now.
I can actually remember...
I'm not going to, like, meet you, or I'm going to be 10 minutes late. Like, I just don't remember that.
Right.
I think we've probably just become really narcissistic, selfish,
yep.
You know, people who don't do and say what we say we're going to do and say. No one expects you to, so it's actually not even looked at as bad behavior now. I don't know. Is that weird? I was really thinking, how in the world did we do anything back then?
I think our manners have not caught up with our technology.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
A guy was texting his girlfriend or his daughter in the movie theater, and he got shot just 2 days ago.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Somebody shot him. I mean, first of all, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Guns. But, one of the great things about gone to some of the places that I'm going again, I'm going to...
Yes, tell us where you're going.
Well, it starts when I go to St. Kitts, St. Martin, St. Thomas, and then...
you are a saint.
And then the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And then, thank you, other Jewish saints.
I hope so.
What a convent, take a Jewish girl.
I hope so.
And that's just sort of a couple of weeks, and then it falls into a routine of going to Jamaica, where I will not get off the ship.
Yeah.
Because they don't like us, so I don't like them.
I don't
like them. I mean, not all Jamaicans. I mean, the government and anti-gay. It's just a homophobic place. But Cozumel, Mexico, and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Nice.
Which I love both of those places. And I know exactly where to get me some Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. So we can hook it up.
Yep.
So we can hook
it up. Yeah, both of those places I get really strong Wi-Fi.
And so you're going to be doing the second city. You go around.
Second city.
You call yourself an improviser now, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm an improviser, yeah.
Because when we started, you were like, I'm an actor, I'm not an improviser. But you've been doing this long enough, you got to, like, claim your seat.
I guess, yeah. For people who are listening who do improv, on these ship contracts, we do short form improv. Improv games, although they don't like us not to call it games. And I feel very comfortable with my ability to not only succeed at those games, but to find the art within the game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like games, sort of like purists. Mm-hmm. They don't like the short form. They think it's, they don't enjoy it as much. I really like it. It's mm-hmm. kind of, you know, what I know best. But I also love to find the art and the mm-hmm. the scene within, even if it's a mm-hmm. game.
Mm-hmm.
I have not done a lot of long form. And when I have, I've really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole other skill level that I would not consider myself a long form improviser. Mm-hmm. So I'll make that caveat.
Mm-hmm.
I say that I'm a good short form improviser. I feel pretty good about that. But, you know, it's sketch.
Yeah,
it's a lot of sketches and some songs, which is really fun. And
mm-hmm.
I got a really great cast, mm-hmm. some really great people. There's actually two other... our musical director's gay, and then one of the other actors is gay, mm-hmm. which will be the first time I'm going out on a ship with other queers.
Cool.
I mean, I've done the theatricals I've done, like at La Jolla and mm-hmm. Actors Theater of Louisville. There have been other gay people
mm-hmm.
in the cast, but not on the ships.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually just me.
That's awesome.
So it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. I'm excited to be in the warmth, and then the contract ends in Barcelona.
Barcelona.
So I'm going to stay in Europe probably for like a week.
Nice.
Like I did last year.
Yeah.
And I went to Copenhagen. This year I think I'm going to get off in Barcelona, go up to London.
Have you been to Barcelona?
I have, and I love it. So mm-hmm. I'm going to go to London, where I've never been,
mm-hmm.
hang out in London for like 5 or 6 days, and then spend the 2 or 3 days by myself in Barcelona, and then fly home.
Do you know people in London?
I know a lot of people in London.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know a lot of people in London who have sort of a little bit annoyed with me that I have not come to visit.
Oh, nice.
So it's time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, you're really going to have to give us the Spanish
411. We got to, once you get back from here, yeah, we'll do a whole show on Spain. So get us some good
material. Spain, you know, Spain is my favorite and Barcelona is paradise.
Okay, well, you have to get us some good info on that. We will be excited.
Gay in Barcelona.
Gay in Barcelona.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I'll be there by myself. Mm-hmm. Like I was in Copenhagen.
You won't be by yourself.
For very long.
Not for
but,
very long.
But it was interesting to be a gay person by myself in Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that I find it just as interesting to be a gay person in Barcelona, you know.
So I want to ask you one last thing because, well, you won't really be able to watch. You'll be on the boats, but maybe you will because it's an international event, which is the Olympics.
Yeah, I found out they will be showing the Olympics on MSNBC.
Oh, I would think they would be on the boats.
And
I
mean, so, I'm gonna pissed about this whole Russia thing.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you excited about the Olympics or are you conflicted? Are you boycotting them or what's happening?
I'm not boycotting them. I'm not boycotting them. And, you know, Johnny Weir's in a lot of trouble because he is very adamant about the fact that an athlete should not have to give up everything they've worked for because of politics. And I understand what he's saying on some level. You know, it's like they did not choose the host city.
Right.
You know, these athletes who have done only this one thing. But at the same time, it's not like they're curing fucking cancer. It's a pretty self-serving thing. You play a sport. Don't get me wrong, sports are great and athletics are great. But stop pretending you're Albert Schweitzer. You know what I mean? You're not. You're a figure skater. But at the same time, I get that. So, and I'm also such an Olympics freak. I love the Olympics. Meg and I sit up in the nook and make up songs about all of our favorite Olympians. I mean, we're ridiculous about it 24/7. So I wish that I had the power of my convictions to say, like, I'm just not going to watch it. But
if you were a gay athlete, you're saying that you don't think they should compete?
No, I don't know. I'm conflicted about it.
It's really a conflicting thing. That's why I wanted to ask you.
But not
I'm
even
sure
a gay
we'll
athlete. What
about
any athlete? What about anybody who believes in equal and civil rights and is aware of the incredibly, incredibly horrible situation for gay people in Russia right now? Does your conscience allow you to go at all?
It's very, very interesting. Like, no world leaders are going.
It's interesting.
Like, I mean, so many are not going.
Italy just took Obama to task for not going and for sending gay people. He's like, he thought the guy,
only sent one gay. There's two gay people out of 10 athletes or something.
Right.
Or
no, but I mean that Obama sending Billie Jean King, Brian Boitano, and another woman who's a lesbian. I think there's two other. I think the people he's sending are all gay people.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think they were all gay people. I know Billie Jean King is in the list, and Brian Boitano was not supposedly really out when
until this happened. Yeah,
until this happened.
I would be torn. I don't know what I'd do, and I don't know, like somebody like Chris Cluey. I mean, I know he's a football player, so there's no Olympics football. But like, as a huge ally of our community, would he go?
Yeah.
I don't know. I get the idea that like somebody's worked their whole life for something as self-serving as it is.
Yeah, but it also becomes a career. It becomes a career path for these people.
And
to be an Olympian means a different monetary level, means a different, you know, it'd be kind of like, don't take a film that you've worked on for so many years to Sundance or don't, there's not like a real
analogy. My friend's
dad
was asked to join the Olympic hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he joined World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people definitely make different
make sacrifices when for something important. I don't know. I think I'm actually curious what other people think. Like with
I am sure we'll be talking about a lot in the upcoming weeks. And
I mean, because I'm not an Olympic athlete and I don't have to make that choice. But I will tell you this: there's very little television on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's just Fox and NBC, MSNBC, and so.
But I guarantee you, it's the Olympics, and I think that it is a national event. I mean, an international event. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a world event.
I'll tell you what they don't show on the ships. The Oscars. Talk about an international event. A billion people watch that. I'll tell you what they do show. The Super Bowl.
Well, there you go. I can't help you there.
Son of a bitch.
I know. Who's the halftime? Bruno Mars. You've got to see that. That'll be awesome. Best concert I've seen in like a decade.
I bet it would be awesome. I won't. Oh yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, I always watch
half
the Super
Bowl.
My friends know this about me.
Intermission.
Like, I don't pay any attention to sports until the ends of their respective seasons.
Yes.
I like a playoff. I love a World Series. I like a Super Bowl.
There you go.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
You know, because then you can decide who to root for. Like, it's too much stimulant. I don't care enough during the regular seasons of sports. But give me the end of a season.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
We don't really represent the sporty gay on this podcast, and that's apologies for that, but. But we will definitely watch the Super Bowl and see Bruno Mars.
Super fun.
Well, we'll talk about Sochi, I think, in the upcoming weeks, and Mitchell Bon Voyage, and definitely get some Wi-Fi and connect with us. And
I will.
We love you.
I love you too.
I love you. I'm going to miss you on the couch, but you'll be back before we know it.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.